This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Good evening and welcome to The Informer. Dean Beck with you tonight. And on a rather frustrating and sad night too. Not a good show for you, a sad one. A lesbian has lost her life. A revolting cartoon produced by the Jehovah's Witnesses. And your federal government, it's time they were made accountable. All of that tonight on The Informer. Last night's Informer team did a tremendous job at talking about ex-gay reparative therapy and ex-gay ideology that still exists here in society today. This morning I woke up to a message from Nathan Despot, who appeared on last night's show. He was also my producer on the Inside Ex-Gay series here at Joy 94.9. He'd received a message from a priest, a friend of his, in rural Victoria, and the message read as follows. Today I'll bury a young woman who died by suicide. She was a lesbian who had just become entangled in a church that made her believe that God did not love her because of her sexuality. Young people are dying because of some of the stuff that comes out of the church. This has to end. This girl's life was not for nothing. I am convinced that God's love transcends the smallness of our minds. If it doesn't, then why did the Saviour hang on the cross? Well, that funeral today coincided with the international launch of a new resource by the Jehovah's Witnesses. It's a children's cartoon. It's titled One Man, One Woman. Have a listen.
Look, Mum, I drew a family in school today.
Oh, wow.
I didn't have time to finish Caleb's face. Carrie drew two mommies. She told me they're married to each other. My teacher says that all that matters is that people love each other and that they're happy.
Well, people have their own ideas about what is right and wrong. But what matters is how Jehovah feels. He wants us to be happy, and he knows how we can be happiest. That's why he invented marriage the way he did.
You mean one man and one woman?
Exactly. Look at Genesis 1:27. Jehovah created Adam and Eve, male and female. Then in Genesis 2:24, he said that a man will stick to his wife. Later, Jesus said the same thing. Jehovah's standards haven't changed. It's kind of like going on an airplane. What would happen if someone wanted to bring something on the plane that wasn't allowed?
They couldn't go on their trip.
Right. It's the same with Jehovah. He wants us to be his friend and live in paradise forever. But we have to follow his standards to get there. At Matthew 7:13 and 14, it talks about the road leading to paradise. To get there, Jehovah says we have to leave some things behind. That means anything Jehovah doesn't approve of.
But I want everyone to get to paradise.
So does Jehovah. And you know what? People can change. That's why we share his message. So, what can you say to Carrie?
Well, I could tell her about the paradise. I could tell her about the animals and the resurrection.
That's awesome. Let's practice.
So you can probably gather from that the Jehovah's Witnesses don't have much of an appreciation for homosexuality or an understanding of the issues that LGBTI people face. Well, it's very simple for them. We can change. Check this out.
I'm attracted to the same sex. Does that mean I'm gay? Not at all. Fact. In many cases, same-sex attraction is nothing more than a passing phase. That's what Lizette, 16, who was at one time attracted to a girl, found. She says, "Through my biology classes in school, I learned that during the adolescent years, hormone levels can fluctuate greatly. I truly think that if more youths knew more about their bodies, they would understand that same-sex attraction can be temporary, and they wouldn't feel the pressure to be gay. But what if your attraction to the same sex seems to be more than a passing phase? Is it cruel of God to tell someone who is attracted to the same sex to avoid homosexuality? If you answered yes to that last question, You should know that such reasoning is based on the flawed notion that humans must act on their sexual impulses. The Bible dignifies humans by assuring them that they can choose not to act on their improper sexual urges. The Bible's stand is not unreasonable. It simply directs those with homosexual urges to do the same thing that is required of those with an opposite sex attraction, to flee from fornication. The fact is, millions of heterosexuals who wish to conform to the Bible's standards employ self-control despite any temptations they might face. Those with homosexual inclinations can do the same if they truly want to please God.
So if you think this stuff isn't killing people, think again. You're on The Informer. Joining us now on The Informer is Senator Janet Rice, Greens spokesperson for gender identity and intersex issues. Senator Rice, one of your constituents was buried today, a young woman who was struggling with her Christian identity and her sexuality. That's got to hit you hard, and I know that you understand these issues, but there seems to be nothing going on in the federal space to address this issue. In fact, we as a community see things like the plebiscite as kowtowing to, you know, the Christian right.
It's appalling, and we know that in Canberra, in our parliament, I sit in the Senate with people there who, because of their Christian identity, are out and out homophobes, and they are putting young people's lives at risk, and like this poor woman that has just died. You know, as a Green, we are doing all we can to be standing up against that prejudice, against that discrimination, against that homophobia, and really won't stop until we get a change in our law and continue to work to change attitudes in the community.
How are we as a community going to be protected from outright discrimination and hatred during the conversations that will take place in the lead-up to this plebiscite?
Well, I'm very hopeful that we aren't going to get to a plebiscite because we can have a change of government. That's at least we've got the powerful thing of an election on the 2nd of July that means that we don't have to re-elect a Turnbull government that's committed to what will be a dangerous and divisive plebiscite. If, however, they do end up being re-elected and we do go ahead with this plebiscite, it's going to be very difficult and it is going to cause harm. I think it's going to require a huge amount of support and resources from all of us from across the community to be supporting same-sex attracted and gender diverse people. We know from experience that happened with the referendum in Ireland, and the evidence from there was that there was a lot of harm that was done. So, I'm hopeful that we will be able to avoid it because we will have a change of government.
Well, if there's a change of government, who's helping who? Is it the Greens helping Labor get across the line, or they want to be doing it of their own accord? Chance of that is pretty slim.
Yes, well, I think the best way in terms of getting real advocacy for marriage equality and for other areas of ending discrimination against LGBTIQ people is to have a Labor government that has the Greens having the balance of power in both the lower and the upper houses, where we can then be negotiating with them to actually make sure that we get some really, really strong outcomes. I mean, Labor on themselves, by themselves, sadly aren't going to be up for it. They've just looks like they're about to pre-select Don Farrell in South Australia, who is anti-gay rights, or anti-gay marriage previous senator in South Australia. So, you know, Labor really need to be pushed as well. So with the Greens and Labor in a new government, I think that would be the best outcome that we could hopefully get to.
But as a Victorian, you know full well that it can be done. We've seen tremendous leadership shown by Premier Daniel Andrews. What are the Greens going to do for a similar type of thing rolled out federally? We've seen safe schools destroyed.
Well, federally, we have been pushing so hard to maintain safe schools, but sadly, with our current government, it's We haven't got the outcome that we know and that we deserve. I congratulate Daniel Andrews in Victoria for the work that they've done here in Victoria to maintain safe schools and have shown the other states what's possible. But we should be able to be, you know, maintaining funding for safe schools at a federal level. It's a federal program. It's been funded federally, and it's only because of the homophobic, you know, troglodytes in the right wing of the Liberal Party that we've had it sort of. We've had the funding cease and we've had all the attacks on it.
Well, let's be fair. Labor have often given over to the right wing of the Christian churches as well. What is the Greens going to do to advocate for some of the things federally, like we have here locally in Victoria? For example.
That's right. Well, we've been advocating for them. So, you know, we've been advocating on marriage equality.
If you've got balance of power, you can do a lot more than advocate.
We can, well, absolutely. And that's the issue that, you know, with us, like we managed to achieve outcomes in 2010 on a whole range of issues. If we've got balance of power, we're in a position to be working with Labor to be getting some really progressive outcomes. And I think that's going to be that's the outcome that I'm hoping for on after the 2nd of July.
I think we need to see some runs on the board in this space federally. Senator, I want to thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks very much, Dean.
Well, we just heard from Greens Senator Janet Rice. We're now joined by two candidates for the Senate seat in Victoria. Dr. Meredith Doig joins us from the Australian Sex Party, and Jason Toison-McSheen joins us from the Australian Equality Party. Welcome to you both.
Hi, Jason.
Jason, let's start with you. You have a background in theology. You have an understanding of how this mentality works. What is it that these organisations, these churches, aren't getting that continues to see people kill themselves?
At the root of what they believe, they actually believe that being gay is against God's design, is sinful, is actually going to send gay people to hell because it's against what God wants. And because of that, they actually think that they're doing the reverse. They think that they are, by holding on to God's ideals according to what they believe, that they are actually making it safe for the 90% or 95% of people who are not gay or lesbian.
But the evidence suggests, as people continue to throw themselves under train and off the top of buildings, the evidence suggests that that theory isn't working.
Yeah, it's terrible. And they... I know someone who suicided just 2 weeks ago, a friend of a friend, and it has to stop. And in Australia, we have, in politics in particular, the idea still exists in public utterances. Somehow there is something wrong with a lesbian, gay, transgender, bisexual, intersex person. There's something inherently wrong with them. Whereas the good thing on a state level in Victoria, we've had the Labor Party at least come to the understanding that there is nothing wrong with LGBTI people, and their policy has gone forward as a case. Federally, it's real worrying because it's actually killing people and it's causing massive mental harm, and it has to stop, and I'm trying to do my bit to agitate for that change.
Dr. Meredith Doig, you come from the polar opposite position to this entire equation. You are the president of the Rationalist Society. You can't understand why people would even go down this path to begin with. However, acknowledging that they do, something has to give, and surely... politically, we can have leadership, like has been illustrated here in Victoria, that can federally make it happen.
I couldn't agree more. I was just, while I was waiting, looking up a website called Salt Shakers, Christian Ethics in Action. And Jason, you may be aware of these guys. And they have a quote right at the beginning of their page that says, "Our children deserve to have something to look forward to. That's why Salt Shakers is dedicated to helping Christians understand the times and equipping them to be the salt and light by upholding biblical values and by being more aware of the ethical issues affecting our society." On the Salt Shakers site, as far as I know, the area that most people go to is the area about homosexuality. It just shows the obsession that people who are biblical literalists, Jason, correct me if I'm wrong, have with this issue of homosexuality. Why is that?
Well, you're so right. I actually was a chaplain for a while at a school in northwest Melbourne, and the Salt Shakers went to the board level to have me sacked because as an out gay person, they felt there was a terrible thing against God, and the board was strong and stood against him, but there's this belief, and I, Meredith, I agree, I've sort of evolved in my old spiritual understanding of life, but it's not rational, this belief system, and it's based in a theology that's selectively interpreted, at the end of the day, causing massive harm. Now, people want to believe those things, they can, and they give it to themselves. Civil life should be removed from religious life, and we should be trying to take care and provide the best outcomes for all of our citizens in our civil society.
Now, as far as I'm concerned, neither the Liberals or the Labor Party have shown any leadership federally in this space, and frankly, the Greens have been pretty piss weak. So if you two are going to hold, one of you, the balance of power in the Senate, what are you going to do to really create the change, Meredith?
Amongst other things, we want to make sure that there is federal legislation that protects individuals from vilification and from harassment on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity. So at the moment, there's only such legislation in Victoria, in New South Wales, the ACT and Tasmania. So we want to make sure that that sort of legislation, which really protects people from vilification, is across Australia. That's one thing. Secondly, we would want to make sure that the current religious exemptions to anti-discrimination law, which is in the Federal Sex Discrimination Act, for example, we want to make sure that those religious exemptions are removed from national anti-discrimination legislation. And thirdly, and this is about Australia's place in the world, really, and the way that we're seen as, well, not seen as a compassionate country anymore, we would really like to make sure that the way that LGBTIQ asylum seekers are treated brings the priority of LGBTIQ status right up to the top of factors that can be accepted as a asylum seeker. Australia's treatment of such people is a lot better than it is now.
Jason, you lead the Equality Party. From an LGBTI community perspective, all I see is both Liberal and Labor being beholden to the Christian right. Our issues come somewhere down the chain if they're even rated on a day in Parliament. What is it that you think that you can do to create change?
First of all, we put LGBTIQ issues first, and we spent 2.5 years having the conversation with every part of our community, both nationally and internationally, to find out what needs to happen for full inclusion for LGBTIQ people. We have a 43-page document. It covers 23 areas. Marriage equality is just one paragraph. And we know what it takes. We have the relationships with the various organisations and communities in our community that if I get in, I can stand up and be a voice and hold these other parties who are in power accountable for their lack of interest, and also make sure that we always put ourselves number one, always first, making sure that we speak for ourselves independently and make sure we're continually agitating for the things that need to change, because there's a lot of things that need to change. And by being active in Victoria the last 2.5 years, we've caused a state Labor government to lift their game, and they have implemented quite a few of our policies already on a state level. For example, Rowena's the Gender and Sexuality Commissioner, which is our policy in action, and we want to have that federally. So I think to have an independent voice that stands up for equality for us, as a gay father, I get some of our issues personally, but I have relationships and our team have developed a policy strategy based on what trans people need in Australia for full inclusion, what intersex people need, what a bisexual person needs, what lesbian parents need, what HIV activists require. We will do whatever it takes to stand for that, and we won't compromise.
Meredith, at what point do we stop making them accountable and start making them culpable?
Good question. And one of the things I was thinking about when I read your quotes from the priest, unfortunately had to oversee a funeral of a young woman who had committed suicide because the church that she was in had made her feel so bad about herself. I think that it's really getting to the stage where churches need to be made accountable for the harm that they do. We know that churches are trying to get to young children through the education system. So
through the example that we've already seen with the Jehovah's Witness cartoon.
Just awful stuff. And the way that they use sort of cutesy cartoon characters and music in the background. It's very commercialized, but it's really, really insidious. They know exactly what they're doing. There's an organization called the Lausanne Covenant, and they wrote a paper some time ago. It's basically a strategic plan for getting to the evangelization of children. They are focusing on children because they know that children have minds that are open to this sort of indoctrination that you can see in those hideous cartoons that are put out by the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Jason, children are supposedly the one part of society that these people are protecting. Does legislation come into play?
Yes, absolutely. And when you think about what the federal Liberal government has done by abandoning and ridiculing and destroying Safe School, which was making it a good environment for LGBTI people.
Ironically.
Ironically, but they have a $1.2 billion over 4 years funded chaplains program that is not accountable to anybody, that is not regulated and has proselytizing ministers of religion in schools, both primary and secondary, potentially causing harm without being held accountable. It's a disgrace. And when you consider it was an $8 million program funding for the Safe Schools program in comparison, we need someone in there who's going to hold them accountable and say, no, you cannot get away with this. And in fact, that culpability is a good question. I agree, Meredith. At some point, apologies are going to be needed and recourse may need to be made. Because once we agree politically that there is nothing wrong with an LGBTIQ person and that mental harm and distress and death has been caused by terrible policies in politics, if we just stay in politics, backed by religious organisations, then perhaps we will see a day where culpability is stated publicly and then retribution is held for that.
Well, as I said to Senator Janet Rice, the time is now for action and we have a federal election. Your vote counts.
Can I just say, Jason, if you get in, we will support you 100% and I hope that you feel the same about us.
Oh, Meredith, of course, our people, the LGBTIQ people, it's a lay-down mazare that in your top six in the Senate, you should be putting us and the sex party in their top six.
Well, enough of the mutual appreciation Society. Jason Twazel McSheen from the Australian Equality Party, Dr. Meredith Doig from the Australian Sex Party. Thank you both for joining us on The Informer this evening.
Thank you, Dean.
You are with Dean Beck on The Informer, and I realise that for some, those conversations may have raised issues for you. If you'd like to speak to someone, please call Lifeline. They're available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on 13 11 14. That's 13 11 14. Beyond Blue offer a counselling service. Their phone number 1300 22 46 36. That's 1300 22 46 36. You can also check out the resources at beyondblue.org.au. And don't forget, if it's regarding an LGBTI issue, qlife.org.au are set up just for you. That's qlife.org.au. 1800 184 527 is their number. Now, we heard from the Jehovah's Witnesses and their attitudes towards same-sex parents before. As we finish up the program, let's have a listen to their attitudes towards same-sex marriage.
Does the Bible comment on same-sex marriages? The Bible's answer. Our Creator established rules governing marriage long before governments began regulating the institution. The opening book of the Bible tells us, "A man will leave his father and his mother, and he must stick to his wife, and they must become one flesh." Genesis 2:24. The Hebrew word wife, according to Vine's Expository Dictionary of Biblical Words, connotes one who is a female human being. Jesus confirmed that those yoked together in marriage should be male and female. Thus, God intended marriage to be a permanent, intimate bond between a man and a woman. Men and women are designed to complement each other so they may be capable of satisfying each other's emotional and sexual needs and of providing children.
There's a federal election coming up. When you go to the polling booth, ask yourself this question: who's thinking of the children? Till next time, I'm Dean Beck. You've been on The Informer. Take care. Bye for now.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.